KFUG Community Radio, 2 minutes into the 11 o'clock hour. Paul Kritz with you. Jessica Sainar from the Wild Rivers Outpost also along for the ride. And we're joined live in the studio, Mr. Bob Berkowitz. How you doing, Bob?
Well, I'm doing okay.
I do like it when you come in. We always end up talking about radio.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
But not to talk about radio today. You are seeking re-election to the Board of Supervisors, District 5, in which we sit. I'm just going to start just right out. How's that going? How's the election? How's the campaign going this time?
Well, I don't know. I think it's going okay, but you never know until Tuesday,
right,
about 9 o'clock when the absentees roll in, and then you can say, well, either it's not as good as I thought it was going to be, or better than I expected.
Is that? Do you get a clear indication of how the night's going to progress for you from the absentee ballots?
Usually do, because 60% or more will come in by those mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
And unless there's something that really occurs that's really bad between the time those ballots go out,
right,
and the time that people go to the polls, you know, usually some emotional issue, then it's going to be about the same as the mail-in ballots.
The thing that happened last time with the imbroglio, if you will, of the mailers that went out, that some people were saying, did that happen after the? Did that give you a question when it came to election night? Because that was a big deal. That was kind of a little controversy where people saying these mailers are misleading or whatever. Did that happen after the mail ballots came in?
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what really happened was that the triplicate took that issue.
Mm-hmm.
They editorialized on that issue on the Saturday before the election.
That's right.
Now, how are you going to be able to respond to an editorial, all right, that happens on Saturday? You can't do any mailings. You can't respond because they're not going to let you respond. How are you going to do that in the triplicate when the paper came out on Wednesday?
Right.
It was a horrible experience to have them do that. They could have done that 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was there, and I would have been able to respond, and we could have put the issue to bed. But
and
no, it never got put to bed.
And were they a daily paper, it wouldn't have been an issue either, too.
No.
So you would have been able to. Yeah.
No, that's what we call dirty tricks.
Nobody's coming at you about this.
I know.
Okay.
I wasn't the editor. I didn't editorialize it.
Right,
but,
exactly.
But that's what we call dirty tricks on behalf of a newspaper to a candidate.
Well, all right. I am not qualified whatsoever to get into going back through that. But yeah, that's the kind of issue. That's the kind of thing that can happen between the mail-in ballots and then the results being counted.
Sure.
What are you going to be doing Tuesday night? Where are you going to be?
I think I'll probably end up at the Republican headquarters.
Ooh, okay.
With a number of the other candidates. And usually have a little bit of refreshment, a little camaraderie. It'll be a nice little thing. You know, there'll be some candidates who will be sad and some candidates who will be happy. So that's the way it works.
You know Charlotte's Follos?
I don't know her very well.
We'll talk to her. She'll be there that night.
Yeah, she's running for assembly.
Yeah.
And
after this interview, we've got an interview with her that we did last week. She's really an interesting person.
Yeah,
I was pleasantly surprised.
Really is. Mm-hmm. And to be able to take on, you know, a congressman.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, what we're doing is we're putting together our election night coverage, and for the first time, KFUG's going to be doing live election night coverage, and so we're trying to find out where everybody's going to be, because we'll be sending our youth reporters around and crash in different places and stuff.
Well, my opponent, I would imagine, will be at the Democratic Central Committee.
Yeah, probably.
He won't be at the Republican one.
Okay, so let's do you have something you want to go out? I'm going to start with the softball, tell us why you're running kind of question.
Go ahead with the softball,
because
that's
it.
What I got.
Why in the world do you want another 4 years of this, Bob?
And what made you kind of throw your hat in the ring to begin with, like 4 years ago?
Sure. 4 years ago, I looked around and I tried to see what kind of progress has been made on the issues that we're interested in. For example, last chance grade.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. I want to do something here. Hold on just a second.
Want to move that?
I do, exactly. Swing it that way and then turn it back to you so that when you're doing the human thing and addressing the person you're talking to, we're talking into a microphone as
well. Okay. So let's talk about last chance grade.
Okay.
50 years. 50 years we'd been talking about Last Chance Grade. Mm-hmm. Ever since Mr. Strindberg's parents were killed on that highway.
Sure.
Okay? 101.
Do you know, I do want to interrupt sure, this question. Ahead. Do you have any idea how Kurt feels about that tragedy being brought up every time somebody brings up Last Chance Grade?
Well, Kurt is one of the prime movers behind getting this done. Mm-hmm. He knows that there's a lot of people who are going to die eventually when that thing falls into the ocean.
Right.
Caltrans says it's not if, it's when. Mm-hmm.
But Caltrans has also said that it's not going to actually fall into the ocean.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. I think the mountainside's going to tumble down on one of our big rainy nights. Mm. It's going to fall on the highway. The highway will not be able to hold all of that weight, and the road will come tumbling down.
Okay.
I think that's what's going to happen. And so anyhow, getting back to the question, 50 years, everybody talks about Last Chance Grade. Yes, we need to do something about it. Yes, we need to do. Nobody had been able to do anything that made progress on Last Chance Grade. So my colleagues and I, because I don't want to take credit for this, but my colleagues and I, along with City Council, along with Kurt Strindberg, Mr. Gitlin, Chuck Blackburn, we all said we need to get behind this and we need to make something happen. So a number of us went to Washington, D.C. Basically, we said, look, you're spending a lot of money keeping this highway open year after year after year. Let's see if we can get some kind of a plan to be able to bypass this. This is a huge accomplishment if we do this because it goes through parkland and private land, and there may be, heaven forbid, a redwood that may have to be cut down. So that's going to upset a few people. But the point is, we started to make the case. We made the case every time we went to Washington, every time we went to Sacramento, every time a political person came here. We've got Congressman DeFazio, who is the head of the Transportation Committee in Congress. We got a commitment from him. He says, yes, we need to replace this. He's the guy that controls what goes through that Congress as far as transportation. That's huge. So the upshot is, after a lot of cajoling, a lot of travel, a lot of persuasion, we were able to come back with $50 million to get the process started.
And when did the $50 million come down?
About a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we have everything in process. We now have the surveys that need to be done and the other kinds of things that need to go ahead.
And the studies happening in parallel.
And the studies, right. Okay, yeah. We're having to do it. Now we have a new goal. The original goal was to have the thing done by 2039.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll be an old man by then.
I'm already an old man.
So I said, wait a minute, this is outrageous. And we started the ball rolling, this board, of saying, no, we've got to do something that gets it closer to where we are. And I think this spring, we're going to have a new timeline.
Yeah, that's
by Caltrans.
Mm-hmm.
We can't count on it. There's a lot of talk on this, all right, but don't hang your hat on it. It's something like 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason is because we're trying to be able to cut through all of the regulatory garbage, CEQA, NEPA, and all of these others, that every time Sacramento wants something, they say, okay, we're just going to eliminate CEQA. Every time they want something, we're going to just bypass it. Now, when we say, okay, this is important, we need to do this, we have the federal government behind us with the NEPA saying, yeah, let's cut through those regulations, I think it's going to be somewhere around 2030, and it may even be closer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's wise to circumvent CEQA and NEPA in an area that's a national park and a UNESCO World Heritage Site?
I wouldn't mind not circumventing it if it didn't take 10 to 15 years to get projects done. You can expedite that. Maybe not eliminate it, but expedite it. And that's not what's happening on a lot of projects. The federal government is saying, look, it shouldn't take 10 to 20 years to do a bypass. You know, we can do things faster than that.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Has that been addressed, though, with when they were talking about, like, when the CTC or the portion of the board was here or the commission was here back in October, whenever
yes.
that was, talking about how all of these studies that need to happen are now happening parallel as opposed to being in series, like coming one after the other. Now they're happening alongside each other, and that's condensing
right.
the timeline.
And
as well.
That's what we convinced Caltrans to do.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do some of these alongside others? Why do they have to wait for one after another after another? And I think Caltrans has been saying, but that's the way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, well, that's not good enough.
Yeah, it's not going to work in this case.
So like here's what I take issue with my opponent.
I want to hold off on that
okay.
because this feels like a sejura and we're turning the page into the next
yeah,
chapter.
Yeah,
okay.
But
we don't need to do that.
But I also feel like you're leaving out a key player in this whole thing, which is Congressman Jared Huffman. You mentioned Congressman DeFazio.
Right.
But it's Congressman Huffman's stakeholder group that was probably one of the instrumental factors in that project receiving the $50 million.
Right.
The other thing also is that in the 2016 campaign, you and Supervisor Gitlin ran on the promise that last chance grade would be fixed in 5 years.
Well, interestingly enough, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
He's got papers on the floor. That's what happened here.
here's my 200-word statement. Let me read it to you. I have three goals. We'll put it down here. I have three goals, okay? And one of them was get last chance grade done in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're referring to.
Yes.
My opponent makes it a little different. My opponent said, Berkowitz promised to get last chance grade done in 5 years. There's a difference between a goal to get it done and a promise. What I wanted to do in 2016, remember, nothing had ever been moved on last chance grade. Okay? So if you don't have a goal, nothing's going to be done because there's no reason to get anything done. So my objective was, at least let's get a goal. We may not make the goal, but at least we've got something out there that we can work towards. My opponent twists my words and makes it so that I promise to get it done in 5 years. That's what I call very big misrepresentation of what I was trying to do. Let's face it, all right, there was no way this was going to get done in 5 years, but at least I had a goal out there that we could set and try to reach. And at least we got $50 million. Now, it's true. Everybody was involved in this. Huffman's stakeholder group, our county, all of the counties from Sonoma all the way through us signed on saying, we want this to be a priority. That didn't happen by accident. That happened with a lot of travel and a lot of cajoling by Supervisor Gitlin
and
Mr.
Supervisor
Strember
and Supervisor
Blackburn
and Supervisor Finnegan, going back to previous boards too.
The point is that nobody'd ever made any progress on that. You could travel to Washington, D.C., but unless you come back with the bacon, what good is it?
Yeah, okay, but did you come back with the bacon? That's what I'm curious about. I want to give you the opportunity to get your narrative out and to do this, because that's half of what we're doing here.
Okay.
I remember you and Roger kind of running as a block. As
okay.
a coalition, and coming into the Board of Supervisors 4 years ago as very much the two against whom the other three ended up being aligned. And that didn't happen overnight, but that's kind of how the Yeah, see, we're not taking phone calls. There's enough questions here for Bob, Jessica, and myself. But thanks for listening. The so you had this kind of. It was seemed as, this is very discourteous, it was seen as a divide, and Roger went off about this a lot, talking about the votes and things like that, the divide on the board.
Sure.
It also seemed, to my untrained eye, that you guys, you, Roger, Chuck, coming out and just going, we're going to do this in 5 years. And it was very much, it wasn't like a goal. I remember it being, we're going to do this in 5 years. And there was a part of me that was going, hell yeah, Chuck, let's get a, seriously, no, I was, let's downward this. Let's get some bulldozers up there. Let's get Hemmingson's crew up there. Let's put this thing in because we could.
Let's downward this?
Yes.
I mean, love that.
It's a verb. So it seemed like at the outset of your first 4 years, 4 years ago, that you and Roger were much more an obstruction to building that coalition in the on the board and getting everybody on the same page when it came to last chance grade. And that now you're running with, hey, we got all this together, which is perfectly, that's a perfectly viable thing to run on. But at what point, and two things, correct me if I'm misjudging your initial time with Roger and that kind of divide that sort of crippled the board for a couple of years.
Do you want me to do that now?
Hold on to that thought. And then tell me at what point you ended up on the same page as the other three on the board.
Okay. Let's go back to Roger's first 4 years.
Okay. That was a fun time.
Roger was kind of a bomb thrower.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. That's a way of putting it.
And he would say that himself,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Right. Of course, he would throw things out. Some were good, some were bad, some were who knows. And, of course, the board wouldn't listen to him. And the reason, of course, they wouldn't listen to him, because it would be a 4-1. We don't have to listen to him, all right? He's not going to get a second on anything that he does. So along comes Berkowitz on here. And I'm saying, let me give him a second on some of these things so it can be discussed.
Okay.
And that's what my objective was, is that this guy shouldn't be shut out. If we have a 3-2, that's fine. That means the board is going to have to deal with whatever the issue is and then vote on it. Could be 3-2, could be 4-1. It doesn't matter, but at least people get to hear what this supervisor has to say. Disagree with him, agree with him, it doesn't matter. My job was, at least I thought is my job was, let's get the full board to discuss whatever it is that they want to discuss instead of making this a 4-1 vote. Which
or just to kind of
sense.
Get his views out there.
Or get his views out there. Now, they was able to get his views out there, some of these things were way out. But at least he was able to get them out. People could then see, oh, I agree with him, I disagree with him. But when it was a 4-1 situation, they never knew what he had. Because he couldn't discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my objective. So it looked like, well, Roger and Bob are on the same page. When Bob's objective was to give Roger a second so that some of those wacky views would get out there and be discussed.
Interesting. Okay. All right. No. That's really, I had never heard that side of it at all. So it's almost like more of a parliamentarian, you know, just to kind of break up that log jam on the board and get other views expressed.
Well, now I had to pay for a price for that. Don't forget.
What was the price?
That when I wanted something out there, none of the other three were going to second the motion.
Mm-hmm.
At least I had another person who might consider it, all right, seconding a motion that I had. So that's what the price was. That's the price I paid.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Anything? You want to ask anything with this? Because, okay, so at what point? At what point do you end up then? Because then it sort of seemed like it ended up being 4-1 again. Did you kind of walk away from that stance? Have you walked away as you saw, you know, okay, you're not going to run for, Roger's not coming back for another term. It's like sort of let's all get on the same page. What happened?
Roger basically made the decision, I think, not to bring those controversial issues up. Mm-hmm. At least that's happened in the last 8 months or so.
He'd modulated his approach.
So
there was I can see that.
Yeah. It was nothing that I had to bring a second to.
Sure.
All right. So now it looked like, oh, things have moderated along here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Roger. Of course, don't forget things that I brought up. All right. Never got a hearing either. All right. So, hey, that's the price you pay.
So has there been any effort then for you to sort of repair that damage to I don't know, zero out that price and get back on board with the majority of the board?
You know, I would like to do that. I would like to see that happen. Keep in mind that I spent 4 years on the school board.
Mm-hmm.
We had disagreements all over the place. But it was never personal.
Mm-hmm.
It was never, I'm going to go get you.
Do you miss that? Would you like to be back on the school board these days?
Oh, well. Sorry. No offense to the school board.
Right.
Yeah, but, no.
But here, it seems like it's been personal.
Mm-hmm.
You've been at the meetings, all right? You can see what's happening here, basically. All right? That those kinds of things that I bring up, all right, are not going to pass because it's going to be 3-2.
Yeah.
All right? Now, I'd like to get along with everybody, and I had a reputation of doing that. But even though I'm trying to get along with three other members, doesn't look like they want to get along with me.
Hmm.
Now, that may change.
I was going to ask, if you are reelected and Supervisor Cowan is reelected, or no matter what happens on Tuesday,
sure.
How will you overcome that rift going forward? How will you address that and maybe bring the board back to a more cohesive place?
Well, I think what I want to do here is see how I can support the other three on what they're trying to do, even though it's not going to make a whole lot of difference because they already have the three votes. All right.
Sure.
At this particular point. Now, maybe if somebody new was elected to replace Lori, that whole situation
may
change.
Changes, yeah.
Nothing
right.
is ever stagnant. And, you know, but I'm going to continue to do what I've tried to do all along, which is get along with my fellow board members.
Wow. Cool. All right. No. I think that's interesting. But so I'm sorry. Am I interrupting? You've got the train of thought. Look. I'm learning these things about Jessica as we do these interviews together. Don't interrupt the pauses because she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the thinking face. Are you got more? Because we can move on. But it's
we can move on.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. That's okay. So let's get back then to. I feel like I derailed you in what you were saying here. Go ahead and go. Are there more that you want to say as far
I'd
as
I'd like to take
Kevin?
Issue with my opponent.
Okay.
Okay. I think this is the place to do it. I looked over what my opponent said last time he was here. All right, the transcript. He's got the motto of people over politics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, come
on.
Have
an idea?
Come on. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
He's talking about the whole thing we just talked about
mm-hmm.
with the politics and the division on the and the gridlock on the board, right?
Uh-huh. Okay. And he says I can work with Republicans. Remember him say that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, point is, if you can work with Republicans, have you ever had a history of working with Republicans? I can't find a single instance where he has supported a Republican platform of policy. Nothing.
Okay.
How does he say he can work with Republicans?
Well, because the term work, I think, encompasses a much larger mm-hmm. thing than just supporting a platform or an issue.
Right, and I think mm-hmm. the idea, I think he was drawing on his experience as the director of the Solid Waste Authority when he said that. Even though it's a nonpartisan, the Board of Supervisors is supposed to be a nonpartisan mm-hmm. position, I don't want to put words in Kevin's mouth, but he did mention
That was
the context in which that was mentioned, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay. You know, the other thing is that he's proud of is accepting over half of the donations from union bosses. And the unions, over $5,000 he's gotten, or 80% of his donations have gotten from people outside the district. And basically, more than $4,000 from special interests and unions. Now, here's the thing. You have to come to one conclusion.
Well, okay.
I don't.
The conclusions don't love you. They want to own you. And that's the only reason why they donate the money. Now, you say, wait a minute. How can you say that? I can say it because they tried the same tactic on the school board. At one time on the school board, they came to us and they said, we would like to start an apprentice program at the high school.
Who's they?
The unions.
Okay.
And
anyone in particular?
Well, I don't have that one in front of me. All right. That was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
So we would like to start an apprentice program. I said, gee, wow, what a deal. And then they said, but we have one caveat. The caveat here is that every project that the school district takes on, remember we'd just gotten $25 million, have to be union workers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you figure out what it costs for a union worker coming out of Eureka, the union hall there, paying their transportation, paying their lodging, and all of that, comes out to more than $90 an hour.
Uh-huh.
How does the school district really afford that? So basically,
allow locals to unionize and hire the locals that are then unionized?
They're being taught by certificated staff. They're being taught by members of a union, the Del Norte Teachers Association.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, or CTA.
But in this particular instance, it was quid pro quo. All right. You do this, we'll do this.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, the board said, we're not going to be blackmailed into this.
Okay.
Same kind of thing, I think, would happen here. All right. If we have a person or if we have unions that have spent thousands of dollars getting a person elected, it doesn't come because they love you. It comes because they want you to do something for them.
I think that's behind every donation to
I was going to say, what about Elk Valley Rancheria? They donated $1,000 to Kevin Hendricks' campaign, and the Yurok tribe has also endorsed him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yurok tribe, as you know, is a major player, especially in Klamath.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like they're doing it to...
If they're here in our area, that's different.
Okay.
But if you've got unions that are 100 miles away, that's a different story. They're basically in a Humboldt County, all right? And they want the inroads here. And deep pockets can make that happen. And governments have those deep pockets.
But the unions that are in Humboldt County also represent workers here.
Okay, all right. But the point is, the unions, union rank and file, are not making those decisions. They haven't polled them. It's the ones that are at the top, the union bosses, that make that decision. And when they approached me and saying, well, will you interview with us? I said, are you kidding? In your entire history of supporting candidates, you've never, ever supported a candidate that wasn't a Democrat. What chance do you think I have of being successful in an interview against the chairman of the Democrat Central Committee? No chance at all.
Well, I mean, other than maybe doing the interview without it being an opportunity to quote-unquote win or lose, but just to represent yourself in front of these possible constituents, that would be one reason to do that.
These aren't even constituents. These are union bosses out of Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they had to go for those interviews.
Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're trying to convince somebody who's local. They're not local.
Okay. All right. No, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Who's been giving you money?
Well, let me see. My wife gave me some money.
I mean, other than today.
Right. And
a lot of private donations.
And I've had about four or five private donations, not a lot of big money, because I don't accept big money. Okay? And that's it. I've got a lot of less than $100 donations. All right? But, hey, I believe that once people donate big money to you, they expect something from you. And I'm not going to play that game. Okay.
All right. No, fair enough. Because I would like to say that no, that's not the. But no, you. Big well, money comes with big asks nowadays.
That's
right?
Your opinion.
No. It is. Okay. But it's also I also agree that that you get money in the modern American political scene. It comes with an agenda. It comes with an ask. Sure.
And, right.
I just am not sure how verklempt I am over labor having a say in anything. I'm always for labor.
I wouldn't mind labor having a say as long as they had a say, but they don't have a say.
Yeah.
Only the bosses have says.
Yeah.
So
okay,
can I ask in your in your last 4 years, what have you learned about your constituents in your district, and what are some of the things you've learned about?
Look, you've been at a town hall meeting, daily town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
where are those held again?
The daily town hall meeting.
Yeah, where are those held?
All right, and those are held at the Fisherman. Every morning, Monday through Saturday.
Again, not a call-in show, folks. Thanks.
From 6 to 7 a.m., person doesn't have to buy anything at all.
Okay.
They can present whatever ideas they have. Keep in mind, the reason for this daily town hall meeting was that people would come before the Board of Supervisors, and they would have 3 minutes to present whatever it is they wanted to present. And that was it. And then, of course, they get no feedback whatsoever.
Yeah,
you've been there.
You're up and you're gone thing.
Right. Yeah, because there can't be an interaction.
That's right, there can't be, right.
Yeah.
So I said, the heck with that. All right, I'm going to at least have a forum where they can present their ideas, good, bad, or ugly. And in whatever they want to say in whatever area they want to propose, it doesn't even have to be something political. Okay? It can be anything. But they have an hour to do that. They can have some coffee. They can sit back. They can relax. They don't have to feel like they're under attack at a board meeting or feel very upset. Not only did we institute this on the first day that I took office, and we've had over now 1,600 meetings.
Wow.
Okay. But we won an award for this at the National Association of Counties because they thought it was such a good idea. And so I'm really proud that we were able to institute something that had never been done before. All right, and that people have a chance to express their feelings whatever way they want to express them.
Okay. So during those meetings, what have you learned about what your constituents' needs are?
Sure. Let me give you an interesting one I thought was great. One of the constituents came up to the board meeting and said, you know, it would be a good idea to have porta potties on South Beach during 4th of July. Wow, yeah, of course. So then she comes the next week and she says, let's flesh out this idea and see how we can do it. And I said, let's do it. And so we fleshed it out and found out what it would take to do this. Can we get some buy-in by private enterprise? Can we get something from the board to be able to do this? What is it going to cost? And so we did this. The cost wasn't very much in the whole scheme of things. And I said, let's spread this out so it's not just 4th of July weekend, but let's do the entire month of July and August and see how this can work. And we did. And we brought it before the Future Facilities Committee of the board. And then we had that taken up by the board, and we got that passed. It's somebody who's coming before a supervisor or two and saying, what do you think of this idea? Yeah, okay, we can do that. You know, there are other kinds of things that are sometimes difficult, sometimes easy. We had Mr. Jones from, David Jones from the Klamath mm-hmm. Chamber of Commerce, came before the board. You were there. All right. But we had talked about that before at a daily town hall meeting, saying, what can we do to get better fire protection in Klamath? Well, Klamath has their own fire protection district. It's very unusual for another entity to contribute money from that entity to another entity to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to convince the board that this was to everybody's benefit. Prevented a lot of fire engines having to go down from Fort Dick all the way down to Klamath.
Wow.
And therefore, the fire is out, of course.
Yeah, right.
You know, if we can give them a little bit of money to be able to make better fire protection in Klamath, that's a good thing to have happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? And that was one of the things that
let me jump in here. It is 11:38 the time, because I have yet to do this, and it's been almost 40 minutes. You're tuned to KFUG Community Radio. Jessica Sainar live in the studio, along with myself, Paul Kritz, and we're talking to Supervisor Bob Berkowitz about being reelected to the Board of Supervisors.
It was $1,000 that the Board of Supervisors contributed to the Klamath Fire Protection District.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, that doesn't seem like a lot of money.
It isn't a lot of money, but it breaks the. It sets the precedent of things that can happen because that hadn't happened before.
Okay,
you know. So those are the kinds of things that happen. We had. What's the gal from Art Gallery across from the post office?
Barbara Burke.
All right. People came to the basic town hall meeting and said, we've got some flags that are really tattered around town. Horrible looking things. What can we do about that? I said, you know, is that really something for the board to take up? Or is that something for us to take up?
Mm-hmm.
And we got volunteers that said, let's find tattered flags all around town. One of them right across at Barbara Burke's place. We said, let's get rid of that flag and let's donate new flags where they happen to be. That came out of a daily town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anything to do with the board, but it was things that people were concerned about.
I have always been a fan of, even though they happen much too early for me.
In the morning.
Other than that one time that I went. But your accessibility is laudable, and I've always been a fan of you know, citizens sitting down with their representatives.
How accessible are you to your constituents in Klamath?
That's
though?
Where I was going with that.
I was just in Klamath yesterday.
Okay.
You know, Aaron Funk wanted to see me, wanted to talk to me. Okay. And so we went down and we talked to basically his people because he wasn't there when we got there. But those people were concerned about that road, Klamath Beach Road.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Aaron and I had talked about that about 3 months ago. The potholes were big enough so that RVs were having flat tires, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we got the road department basically down there and be able to fix some of the potholes in that particular area. One of the other things that we got passed by the board was, if you've ever been down to the ball field down there, it was in horrible shape because nobody was taking care of it. We couldn't get crews down there when they needed to get down there. So the tribe came up to me and said, is there any possibility that we can transfer that to the tribe? Because the tribe has a lot of grants that are available that we can do that. So we got the board to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we're looking at one of the playgrounds. The tribe got a grant for all kinds of playground material, playground swings and all of that kind of thing. But the county doesn't have any money for that. So on the next board meeting, we have an agenda item to see if we can turn over that playground to the tribe so that the tribe can get grants to be able to support it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that we're working with the tribes in trying to handle those kinds of things that they can handle that we can't do effectively.
Right, right. Has Aaron Funk given you money?
No.
Okay. Because, I mean, that was like
Aaron Funk owns Camp Klamath, by the way.
Yeah, Camp Klamath. And so that's, you know, and then, yeah, RV's getting flat tires. He definitely has a vested interest in that not happening over on that side of the Klamath. Do you feel like you're...
And the other thing, I did not go after any money from the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is I don't want this to look like something for something. Quid pro quo.
You mean the Hunter Creek... The Hunter Creek, the playground.
Well, that, I'm talking about the other issues, but that one, yeah. But
that one specific.
But the other one specifically was the ball field.
Okay.
All right. I didn't want that to look like saying, yes, we gave it to them, therefore I need a donation from them. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to accept those kinds of donations. I don't want it to look bad in any way.
Do you spend enough time in Klamath?
I think I do. I'm down there, geez, at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm meeting with constituents.
Have you thought about doing anything like the town hall down there once a week?
Well, it's pretty hard to do it at 6 o'clock, and by the time
again, yeah. maybe it, later
well,
in the
well,
day,
does, yeah, does no, it have to it, be six
it
o'clock?
It could happen. It could happen. Greg, what's his name? Lives over in Iowa. Yeah, right down here.
Oh, okay. All right. I was thinking bigger.
No, Iowa Street. And he was saying, can we make it? This was yesterday. Can we make a town hall meeting once a week where you could have it at 9 o'clock
in
the morning?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I said, let me look into it and see. So I'm going to put that on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
say, give me some input. And you know that on Facebook, I try out a lot of ideas to see who wants what. And it doesn't really make any difference where they live, all right, because anybody can come to a town hall meeting. You don't have to be in the 5th District.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. But
mm-hmm. that 6 a.m. thing. And perhaps including some sort of thing like that for Klamath as well.
Right.
Because
but,
I think there are a lot of people down there who don't feel represented in Crescent City.
Yeah, they feel overlooked. They feel like they're the redheaded stepchild and that they're neglected. That's the phrases that I've heard
when
I've been working with folks in Klamath, people living
sure.
in Klamath.
And not
to say that that's all on your watch. This goes back to Finnegan. This goes back to just
sure,
historically.
It's
not.
Yeah.
No matter how much time I put in Klamath, you're always going to get that kind of argument because they don't feel they get the attention like in town
mm-hmm,
gets.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's their opinion. I try to work with it as best I can. My last election, where I ran against Finnegan, the only precinct I lost was down there in Klamath,
mm-hmm.
the 18th precinct.
Mm-hmm.
You also kind of made a statement during that election about Margaret Keating Elementary School and the students there not wanting to learn, and that's the reason they have low test scores.
I don't think I made that statement.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Well, I don't recall it, and it's not any of my notes, and nobody's brought it up to me that I know of.
Okay.
No, I remember that. I do remember that. Okay. Not enough to know, to remember the exact quote or anything.
Right.
And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's just historically, because you've done a lot of work in Klamath over the last year, too. And that South, you know, it's an historical divide.
Sure.
And there's yet to be, I think, certainly a representative for Klamath that at least Klamath feels like they're getting their money's worth.
Well, you know.
Money's worth. I was just doing the whole, like, you know.
No, I think that's important. I really do.
It is 11:46. Bob Berkowitz sitting here live in the studio with Jessica Sainar and myself, Paul Kritz. Community Service, the show. We're talking to Bob about seeking another term on the Board of Supervisors. Big things. Everybody's talking about, of course, this year, homelessness. What's happening in your mind vis-a-vis the homeless?
Well, the big thing is when homeless affects San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, all of a sudden, politicians start paying attention to it. I mean, we've had homeless here for a long period of time, but we haven't been able to get the attention of the political bodies that could at least have a plan to be able to mitigate the homeless problem. Now we're starting to get some federal funds and state funds to be able to fight homelessness. So now we have hired a consultant. I know that's sometimes a bad word, but to give us the options that we can deal with that can be most effective in dealing with the homeless problem. One of the solutions, of course, is over in Williams Drive, all right, where we had the old homeless, juvenile hall, the right. old one. That was a horrible facility, by the way. I had to deal with that when I was on the grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we finally got a brand new probation facility for kids. But that's an area that we may be considering. Well, now, okay, what do we put there? Well, now there's all kinds of ideas, from tiny houses to a community. What are we going to do about people who are drug addicted, people who have their animals with them? There are a lot of people, believe it or not, who don't want help,
mm-hmm.
who don't want anything at all. Don't do anything. Just leave me alone. I'm happy where I am. How do you deal with those people? All right, because in order for them to survive, what are they doing? They're stealing things out of Walmart and other places, just to survive. So even though they don't want help, we're trying to be able to mitigate a crime problem here, all right, just strictly because they need to survive. I'm thinking one of the things we need to do is build a mental institution in this county.
You mentioned that.
Yeah. We need to do that because right now we're transferring 5150 cases, mental cases, all right, over to Reading and other areas. It's costing us a fortune, an absolute fortune. We could build a facility and keep these people here and give them the services that they really need to have if we had that right here.
Wow. How do you do that?
Well, that's the other thing. All right. You need to be able to convince the state that they need to be able to support this.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that a lot of the money that's supporting transferring over and back and meals and let's say transportation and housing for the people that are being transported over there. That's probably costing more than what it would cost to build and maintain a facility if we kept the people here. We need to get the state to support that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they may be approachable at this time because they want the homeless situation solved so badly.
And there's money to address it, too.
And there's money to address it.
My question would be, do we have the population to sustain a facility like that? And do we have the staff, the professionals needed to staff a facility like that?
Right.
Because you were at College of the Redwoods on Saturday.
Yes.
For the LVN to RN program.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things also that's that's a shortage as well are mental health professionals in the community. How do we address that?
I think we can address that problem the same way we're addressing the LVN to RN program,
mm-hmm.
where forget the border. This is also a problem with Curry County.
Wow,
right.
But that would be how in the world would you sell that to Sacramento? I mean, because I was thinking about that when you were talking about how do we sustain that up here? I'm going, well, neighboring counties. But then, we're walled off at the state line. That's
right. But I think we can do that when we cooperate with our Oregon state legislators,
mm-hmm.
all right, and be able to see that it also solves part of their problem,
mm-hmm.
for Curry County. So now you've got the population probably to support something like
mm-hmm.
that. That's important.
And maybe something similar with the LVN to RN program where we kind of grow our own workforce, maybe.
No, I'm just thinking about all of that. I mean, because mental health is such a hole in Del Norte County. not just for homeless, but for anybody.
And it's complex, too.
Sure.
But what about a regional center, then,
right,
that addresses all of that, that gives us the infrastructure, then, to attract professionals who would come here and work and serve, yeah, Southern Oregon and Northern California as a...
So on Monday...
Damn.
On Monday... I'm
fired
working.
Up. Sorry,
I'm hoping that on Monday the both of you would turn up at the town hall meeting and we could flush all of this out.
It's six
and
in the
solve
morning.
The problem. Sure, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I'll get you some coffee. But you see, what happens is you start with an idea,
mm-hmm,
then you start fleshing it out,
yeah,
with other,
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
And once you get the outline, then you can present that,
mm-hmm,
to maybe a future facilities committee of the board and then have them flesh that out with the staff, and then you can present it to the board.
Right.
You see, you've got to start somewhere.
Oh,
we've,
yeah,
just started it today.
Mm.
Congratulations.
I have another one for you. Homelessness in Del Norte County suffers from the fact that there isn't like a steering sort of thing. We don't have, we need like we did with cannabis, and we need a citizens committee.
A
work group to
True,
focus.
True
and
North
to meet,
is working on that.
Yeah, True North works on a lot, and it would be nice if True North could deliver that. They've been working on that for more than a year. And came and went. I mean,
they've got a date and a time.
I know. I'm going to be there. I'm part of that. I'm
okay.
I'm just saying that maybe having that be, and you could fold that in, but just a cannabis working group, but with homeless people that meets regularly and meets under the aegis of local government and is always there doing that, keeping some. Because we fell over ourselves to get legal weed,
right?
But to help homeless people.
There's been a homeless working group, though. There's been groups that have discussed the issue over,
yeah,
the years.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
groups of whom? Okay, this is this isn't Bob's interview.
I'm interested to see what you come up with.
Well, I know that when David Finnegan was on the board, there was a group that he was part of.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, my former editor, was part of a group as well. I don't, mm-hmm, know if it was that same group, but it addressed homelessness. I just don't know what kind of strides they've been able to make.
I know, and I think part of what we suffer from is that there's so many different voices pulling in so many different directions that if we had something that was brought together with, like, you know, you put up an ad hoc committee that's seated with a couple of supervisors, a couple of council members from the city council, all of these things to actually sit down grand jury style and come up with a document that is, this is the best possible local solution we can come up with.
Well,
that's what I'd like to see.
Now that we're through with homeless, that
yeah, now that we've
solved that problem, now you want to talk about what are you going to do about affordable housing in Del Norte,
right,
County?
Right.
I'm glad you asked that question.
Thank you. That's why I pay myself the big bucks.
That's right.
The not just affordable housing, but any kind of housing in Del Norte,
yeah,
County.
One of the things, when I went down to Sacramento and we heard Senator Weiner speak, he was all enthused on how he was going to be able to save energy costs by having solar energy roofs on every new home in Del Norte County starting in 2020. Today, we have that one rule, that one size fits all, right here in Del Norte County,
mm-hmm,
because it's all over. Mm. Now think about this. Probably you don't know where I live, but I live over in Cessna. Cessna gets probably maybe 2 hours of real sunlight.
Cessna? Where's Cessna?
That's over on the other side off of Parkway.
Okay. Oh, okay, okay.
So you get about 2 hours,
yeah,
worth of sunlight a day.
Yeah,
okay? But no, that's mandated, all right? And that costs about $20,000. Now, in San Francisco, where the average cost of a home is about $800,000 to $900,000.
Yeah, you can't rent in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay, yeah.
$800,000 to $900,000. Okay,
uh-huh.
If you're building a new home in San Francisco,
you're getting into unicorn talk now, because you can't build a new home in San Francisco.
Well, actually, you can. They're building apartments and that kind of thing.
Okay,
but the point is, here in Del Norte County, that doesn't work.
Right.
Okay? But we have to abide by that. Another $20,000 in costs. Mm-hmm. You've got now the sprinklers that are mandated in homes. That's another $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
You've got so many restrictions on what you can do on how you can build it that the state has prevented you from building affordable housing. It's the state that's causing this problem.
Now. Hold on. You are choosing just...
That was three no's.
That's
okay.
In case
you're choosing one half of the equation because, by God, we're all capitalists. So market forces are also involved in there.
Okay.
You don't have enough of a market here to sustain enough building, to sustain a market, to sustain enough building. So that is also, yes, the regular... I agree with you as far as the one-size-fitting-all in Delmarva County. But, yeah, we're also a very small market, and there aren't a lot of big capitalists up here who are willing to sink money into this.
$260,000 is about the average cost of a home here in Delmarva County.
Don't let the rest of the state hear that.
Yeah, $20,000 to $30,000 to $40,000 is significant.
Sure, yeah.
When you're talking about state regulations, couldn't they carve out just a little bit for Delmarva County and
say, if you
only receive 2 hours of sunlight a day, maybe you don't need to have solar hot power?
Okay, I'm gonna zeitgeist your stuff here now and go, all right, I'm going to compare an idea that your opponent had with what you're saying because they fit together beautifully.
Sure.
So just in advance, vote for Kevin Berkowitz. I don't know. But he was saying Delmarva County should get a pass on some of these things because we are, in the sum total of everything, a carbon sink. That we actually, Delmarva County eliminates more greenhouse gases than it puts into the atmosphere just simply because we're mostly forest.
Mm-hmm.
And that we should get a pass from that. Mm-hmm. So take that to Sacramento and go, hey.
Hey, listen. My opponent can come up with a good idea.
There you go. There you are. You're welcome, Kevin. I got Bob to say it. There you go.
What about the housing stock that we already have, though?
What about it?
I mean, like, do we really need to build... Do we need to build more houses or just use what we've got? I mean, are the buildings that we already have, are they underutilized?
Well, they could be. Take a look at the empty downtown buildings there.
Apples and oranges there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about affordable housing or you're talking about the old dailies. Those are two different places and two different streams of factors contributing to them being empty. So,
but you could have housing in the downtown area, residential, maybe not.
Probably not zoned for downtown.
No.
So yeah, you would have that problem.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a downtown apartment.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, no, that would be...
But, you know, one of the good things that's happening as far as like on 1 acre parcels, now you can put another unit
on
those 1 acre parcels.
Yeah.
Secondary dwelling.
Yeah, units. ADUs. And what you can do here is make that available so that people who are elderly can have the opportunity for an additional income if they can rent those out. And, hey, once you consider do you have enough room for septic and water and all those kinds of things because they're mainly in rural areas, there's no regulations here in Delmarva County preventing that.
Yeah, yeah.
However, there may be. All right. Remember the one size fits all.
Right.
All right. You're going to have legislation coming out that's saying, you know, granny flats and those kinds of things you can't have them any more than this size to this size.
Sure.
The state's going to come down and regulate us to death if they haven't already.
Well, and yeah. It's just, again, I think that's a factor of you know, it being the one-size-fits-all thing. Those state regulations, if you're living in, say, Antioch in the Bay Area, you need those regulations. You need those regulations for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't apply to, say, rural Tulare County. They don't apply to Delmarva County. And that's something that, exactly that folks in Sacramento need to be reminded of.
Yeah.
It is 1 minute past 12. You're tuned to KFUGLP Crescent City. There you go, legal ID. I'll tell you what, Bob, let's do this. Let's work toward wrapping up here in the next few minutes, okay? Because, this has been a long one.
We can do that.
We can go going out on a bang. You're our final. Well, we're going to play Charlotte Savalos' interview afterwards, but you're our final live campaign or a campaigner, political person on the air. So wrap it up in big fashion. What would you like?
You want me to wrap that up?
No. Let me ask you a leading question. What would you like if you are reelected District 5? What would you like the next 4 years to look like? What would you like to accomplish?
The next 4 years, number one, we're going to get that timeline for last chance grade lowered. Mm-hmm. All right. The idea now is to get it to 2030. I want to get it to lower than that. Okay? That's number one. Number two, we now have some additional resources that the county has put into blight. We're now trying to clean up some of those areas and areas that are that can be leaned on with a lien because the owner basically has neglected them. Mm-hmm. All right. Unless they clean them up, I want to be able to get a lien on the property that we can be able to enforce, okay? And any other way that we can clean up some of these properties. So that's important to me. I'm thinking that what we really want to do also is continue to work with the tribes and develop a better relationship. I don't like that relationship with some people are talking about being the poor stepsister of Crescent City. That's not what I want to have for Klamath. I realize that there's some people that will never get away from that, okay? But at least that's where I want to go with the next alliteration. I want to keep the pressure on Sutter Coast Hospital that we did before, and now we have a new emergency group, a new emergency physicians group that's already lowered the prices by half in a lot of cases.
Wow.
All right. We did that with a resolution from the board, and we also could put the pressure on Mitch Hanna to say, this old group was not effective as far as people. I hate to see them come to the daily town hall meeting with tears in their eyes, all right, saying they'd had a heart attack. They got well at Sutter Coast Hospital, and then when they got their bill, they had a second heart attack. I don't want to see that happen. So that's what I'm looking at right now, to be able to come up with some kinds of things that we can have, some objectives that we can have for the next 4 years. Now, look, there's always going to be new kinds of things that are going to come up that we don't even know about. But we need to be able to have a board that works together to be able to get these new problems that we don't know about yet solved.
And it does seem like the next board, whatever, however it's made up, will be capable of working much more solidly.
I think
together.
So.
Yeah.
We already know we're going to get one new person
at
on
least
the board.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of across the board. And respect to you and everything being here talking to us today. But there isn't anybody up there running that I would go, no, don't elect that person. They're going to do a lousy job. It's like yeah, it's a good group.
Well, when you put yourself out for public scrutiny and public approval, all right, who wants to do that?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Right?
And you pay for it, too.
Yeah. Who wants to take those bows and arrows?
I've gone through enough Form 460s to know I don't have the money to run for public office.
Yeah. How would you like to be Rex Bowen in Humboldt County? All right. What does he raise? $30,000 or something like that?
Holy crap. Right.
Yeah.
That's more than my... Never mind.
Yeah. I know what you were
going to
say.
Don't forget to edit the crap out.
Yeah. Edit the crap out of everything. All righty, Bob. Anything else? Anything we didn't ask or didn't say that you want to make sure gets said today?
I have about an hour's worth of stuff. But I'll let you go because I know you want to get to your next interview. you.
We do. We have one more interview. We're going to play some tunes in there. But Bob Berkowitz, thank you for coming in and talking with us live on the air. And best of luck on Tuesday. And one of us will catch up with you Tuesday night down at the GOP headquarters.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And Jessica, thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Oh, no, thank you.